In this week of rival State of the Union messages, two movies about communities in conflict have opened. Critic Bob Mondello says, for films that come to essentially the same conclusion, they could hardly be more different.
The documentary The Gospel of Eureka takes us to Eureka Springs, Arkansas, a small town that's celebrated for two things, both of which involve costumes, lip-syncing, and exaltation. A passion play performed in an outdoor amphitheater for crowds of the faithful.
You are about to see a dramatic reenactment. The last days of the life of Jesus Christ on earth.
And a nightclub where the performances are, let's say, less reverent. Male performers in sequined dresses wow the largely gay crowds at the Eureka Live nightclub, and you might expect that these folks and the audience at the amphitheater would be like oil and water, never really mixing. But this documentary concentrates on the spots where their worlds intersect, the trans woman and her husband who faithfully attend the passion play, the preacher who emphasizes inclusion for gay parishioners, the devout Christian owners of the drag club who worry about and contribute to the upkeep of the town's 65-foot Christ of the Ozarks statue.
It's looking really good.
Last Wednesday morning, that whole wall of stucco.
The film is ever conscious of ironies, that this statue, for instance, was commissioned by an anti-Semitic clergyman, or that the town's gay pride parade is halted by a sudden deluge from the heavens, ironies mentioned, not dwelt upon, as the camera visits performers applying eyeliner to play Roman centurions on one stage, women on another. At one point, we watch from the amphitheater's control booth. As the actor playing Jesus rises majestically, a majestic gospel voice soars at the nightclub. And you think, well, if the makers of the Gospel of Eureka can find pride and piety on both sides of the cultural divide in this rhinestoned buckle on the Bible Belt, maybe there's hope for the rest of us. You could have knocked me over with a feather boa when it hit me that this precise message, folks who think their enemies finding common ground, is what animates Lego Movie 2. Everything is awesome. You may recall that 8-year-old Finn, who'd been playing with his dad's Lego set, ended the first Lego movie in a bit of a panic.
Now that I'm letting you come down here and play, guess who else gets to come down here and play?
Who?
Your sister.
And that's where this movie picks up, several gazillion pieces later.
We are from the planet Duplon. We are here to destroy you.
Finn sends his good guy avatar Emmett out as an ambassador.
There's no need to fight anymore. See? Friends.
Ooh.
Little sister Bianca smashes the whole Lego city of Bricksburg with her Duplo blocks, reducing it to Apocalypseburg, and several years later, that's where we still are. Finn's a little older, and from the looks of Apocalypseburg, he has seen some Mad Max movies.
Hurry! The door is slowly closing!
His sister sends in exploding pink hearts and big-eyed baby stars who play Emmett for a sucker.
Oh, the pain. It's getting so cold.
Emmett, what are you doing?
Hooray!
See, that wasn't so bad. Nothing got in.
Ah, something got in!
In short, it's sibling rivalry writ with building blocks, a battle of preteen boy and pre-adolescent girl, with boy nervous about growing up and utterly clueless about feminine wiles, especially when his sister kidnaps his Bricksburgians and starts treating them to spa days and glitter makeovers. Can this sibling gulf be bridged? Well, suffice it to say that while Lego 2 has a new song called Everything's Not Awesome, it will not dampen anyone's mood. I'm Bob Mondello.
Everything's not awesome.